It's Thursday, October 4th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, the longest-running, continuous-running tech podcast. This is show number 805, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our October special for all new and existing GoDaddy customers, free private registration with .com domain use, promo code UNLISTED2, or take 20% off your total order by using the promo code GO20OFF2. Hey folks, got a great show lined up for you tonight. We're going to share some new cool stuff, and I think you're going to be excited when you see it. And but anyway, here we go.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
Go flight.
Music bed.
Go flight.
Microphone.
Go flight.
Video feed.
Go flight.
Web browser.
Go flight.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go flight.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. And what a way to screw that up. There's a little button down here, basically on the control panel, that has to be set up for background and then what's basically in my switcher. And I went to switch the show to DDR2 or DDR1 for to play the intro, and it was like, it didn't want to flip it, and it flipped every screen, so... We started the intro a little early, but that's okay. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. And beyond my two thumbs here, welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. And, of course, I want to welcome all of the HANA longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Of course, we want you to get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content. And I want to show you guys something tonight. It's something new that I've got going on here that I just put in place. And I'm going to show you the sequence of events. It isn't always going to show this, but for those of you that are listening, what I'm switching to right now is a screen of an Apple TV. And you say, okay, that's cool. You've got the Apple TV patched in. But what's really cool is I can switch this now where I can bring in my Apple TV, I mean my iPad, and essentially I can show you guys stuff on the iPad, do demos here. So this is kind of a work in progress. We're trying to get it to scale fully up to 1080p, but this is pretty slick, and I'm going to be able to show you guys all kinds of cool stuff. So here's the deal. Here's what I want to do. For those of you that are watching, I'm going to show you how easy it is to subscribe to geeknewscentral.com. I'm going to load Safari here, and I've got Geek News Central already loaded. And so I'm going to blow this page up a little bit so that you guys can see exactly what I'm doing. So I'm going right up here, and I see this Geek News Central audio. See that RSS feed? And for those of you that are listening in the Second Kamala website, there's a little orange button. It looks like a speaker. Basically, click on that. And what happens here is that good old the podcast app right in the iPad or on the iPhone will bring up the subscribe button. All you got to do is boom, hit subscribe, and you are now subscribed to Geek News Central. And if you want, you can, if you're around your Apple TV, you can send that over to the Apple TV, or you can watch it a variety of different ways. But here's the cool thing here about this, and this is something I want all of you guys to recognize. When you're actually subscribing to the show via the podcast app in iOS 6, is once it's loaded up, there's a little settings button, and I want you guys to click that settings button, and you'll see here that it says subscription on, and then you should turn auto download to on. And then what that's going to do is that's going to download all of the episodes so that you're able to get everything. Now, I want you to select all episodes because we don't want you to miss anything, and or you can select all unplayed episodes, but just select all episodes. That way you'll get every show. It's guaranteed to be on your device. Of course, if you're on an Android device, you can subscribe as well. But I don't need to download my own show, so I'll shut that off. But there's great ways to subscribe, and it's basically that's kind of the way you do it in iOS 6. And being right on Geek News Central website and doing nothing more than clicking the RSS feed, you don't even have to click the iTunes link, because the folks over at Apple did some stuff real slick now where if you go to a website and they have a podcast and they have an RSS feed on the website, so long as that RSS feed has enclosures on it, you can subscribe right there. Just really, really easy. So that was kind of my cool thing I wanted to show you. And we're going to be able to do demos on iPad apps or iPhone apps. I can mirror either. So it's really slick. And basically what I've got is I've got an Apple TV that seems to pick up do AirPlay real good. And basically I'm just AirPlaying a screen mirror. So it just really slick, got it wired into the TriCaster. It's a piece of cake. So had a little fun with that. And that's something that we're going to be able to go to at any time. If I want to essentially show you guys something on the iPad, we can do it right there. And all kinds of possibilities for other shows that we're doing as well. So enough on that. If you are listening to the show and you want to watch the show, you can do so later on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung, Smart TV, Google TV. And of course, most importantly, you can contact me here at the show at Geek News on Twitter. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. And of course, on the show hotline at 619-342-7365. So definitely check that out and get hooked up and connect with us. It would be most appreciated. And thanks for being a listener here at the show. We're streaming tonight on all three streams. We're up on Livestream, Ustream, and of course, our primary stream at live.geeknewscentral.com. And we got the chat room opened up for any folks that want to come in live. If you're watching on Ustream, that's the lowest quality bandwidth that we're pushing out because we're basically tapped. So live.geeknewscentral.com is the place to go. Hey, want to make you guys aware of the Stitcher. I put a link on Geek News Central now, and if you missed it earlier, I'll put the big screen picture up. You'll notice I've got a link on the website now. So if you have Stitcher loaded, this is another way to listen to the show. So keep that in mind as you're basically looking for a way to connect up here. And also Stitcher's got some actual awards going on, and we haven't promoted Stitcher at all on this show. Primarily because what they do is when they take my podcast, when they actually grab it, what ends up happening is they cache it on their website. So there's no way for me to get any stats. And that just makes it an absolute pain in the butt. And I don't care for it too much from a usability standpoint, or actually from a measurement standpoint, because every time someone listens on Stitcher, I don't get paid a penny, which is bad when it comes to trying to keep the show afloat and things moving. Speaking of which, want to make sure that you're aware of our GoDaddy specials this month. We've got two great ones here for you. First thing up is that special offer where you get a free private registration with a .com domain purchase. And really, all you're going to do is you're going to pay $7.99 for that .com, and you're going to get a free private registration with it. That's an awesome way to save some money. And the other code that we've got this month is our 20% off code, where, and actually this is going to go all the way through the end of the year. When you get to the checkout counter and you want to save big bucks on a big purchase, use that 20% offer code by using GO20OP2. And of course, unlisted 2 is the free private registration. Now, I just want to remind you guys that come over to GoDaddy.com, come over to GeekNewsCentral.com, and then click on the GoDaddy promo code link, or go to GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy, and all my promo codes are there. I think there's 12 or 14 of them for you this quarter. And, you know, one thing I recommend to you, if you're going to make a purchase at GoDaddy, basically buy like-minded items. So if you're going to buy some domains, buy the domains, check out. If you're going to buy a hosting account, go through and buy the hosting account, then check out again. Because what you can do here is you can basically pick a code for your favorite product, and you even may check out 3 times. It really isn't going to matter, but you're going to get the maximized savings. So we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. And if I can quit from blowing the domain name, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy is the place to go for basically to find all the great promo codes I have for you. Blah, 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 blah. Jeez. Well, again, of course, we're part of the Tech Podcast Network, so make sure you get over there, techpodcast.com. Fellas, I'm just a little itty bit in the doghouse. I was this morning, I left the house early, went and had new tires put on my car, 53,000 miles in my vehicle. And after, you know, that's basically the original tires. And we were down to where the tread wear was getting to the point. Got a great deal on tires, had a coupon, everything was good. Connected with my wife, was running around, I had another appointment and back and forth. And so it's like 3:30 and my son has, 3 o'clock, my son has soccer practice at 5:00. And he says, "Dad, I'm hungry." I'm like, "Okay, why are you hungry already? Didn't you have lunch?" He says, "No, Mom got out of the house and we handed off and I haven't had lunch." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." So I was mobile. So we whipped into a fast food place and I said, "What do you want?" He told me. And so I ordered him a meal at a place and I handed it back to him and he's chowing down the bag. He said, "Oh, I'm full." I said, "Don't eat too much. You know, you got soccer practice too late." And, so anyway, we got to soccer practice and he was good for the first 30 minutes. And then my wife showed up and of course, then, by then he's starting to have the belly ache and I'm getting the evil eye. And then one other thing. So it was like two things in a row. And so this, when she got home with the kids about a half hour after I got home, I'm just getting the look. So wish me luck here. You know, kids hungry, you feed them, right? And you don't deny them food, but not an hour and a half before soccer practice. Oh, boy. Life goes on, right? Okay, I want to talk just a little bit about Windows 8. And the reason I want to do so is basically we sent out a community alert, our first ever community action alert this evening. And I really want all of you that are part of this audience, I need your help, okay? So this is the one thing that I need you to do from this show that I mean, I'm serious here. This is something that I'm going to have a link in the show notes. And let me bring up the page that this is going to, and I'm going to send you to. And of course, it's, here it is. It's an article over on MSNDN.com. It's a Microsoft post. And we're going to talk a little bit about this tonight in the regular show. But I just want to give you guys a heads up here in the beginning. So they've updated their built-in apps for Windows 8. And as we were looking through the list today, one thing that we noticed, there was nothing in here for new media or for podcasting. No app, nothing whatsoever. That really, they got music, games, video, weather, travel, but nothing for podcasting at all. And, you know, I kind of like, wow, what's going on? So about 45 minutes ago, I sent out a mail that basically sent to all of our content creators over at Raw Voice, all the folks that work with us in the podcasting side. And let me, I guess I'll just bring that up and show this to you guys, what we sent them. And let me read this to you because I think it's important to know what we sent our podcasters. We said, this is the first time we've ever sent out this type of email. We need all podcasters to help send a positive message to Microsoft that podcasting is important. Windows 8 is due to launch with absolutely no podcasting support. While many of us use iOS devices, have an Apple computer, even better an Android, or even better be an Android user, one thing we need to remember is that hundreds of millions of potential listeners and viewers use Windows computers. Microsoft's goal with Windows 8 is to create synergy between desktop, tablet, Windows Phone, and ultimately Xbox, very similar to what Apple has already accomplished. Today, Microsoft posted a list of Windows 8 apps that will launch with the platform. Missing is any mention of podcasting support. We encourage each of you to leave a positive comment on the Microsoft blog post asking for podcasting support. This will take less than 5 minutes. We need to let Microsoft know we want our Windows users to have the ease of subscribing and listening to podcasts that is afforded to users on other platforms. Follow the link below and ask Microsoft politely to add a podcasting app to Windows 8. So I've got the link there. And I'm also following through with my own advice. I'm asking those podcasters to ask their audience members to ask for this support as well. Get the word out on Twitter, Facebook, Google+. Let's create a groundswell of pro podcast comments to send a clear message to Microsoft that we want a podcast app for Windows 8. And what this boils down to is we want the ability for, just like I showed you on this iOS device that's sitting right here, this iPad that's sitting here. I want when someone is on a Windows 8 tablet or on Windows 8 desktop operating system or on a Windows phone to be able to go to a website like mine, click the RSS feed, and be able to subscribe to a podcast within Windows. This does not exist. Now, I want you all to think about this for a minute. When Windows 8 launches, there's going to be no native Apple iTunes app. iTunes will still reside in the background as a program that was designed for Windows 7, but there's going to be no Metro iTunes app. There's nothing's been announced. Apple has said nothing about it. Is it coming? I don't know. I doubt it. Because Windows is trying to separate and make their own synergy right now with this new operating system. So I want you to remember this here. For those of you that are Windows users, when you make this upgrade, if you're, you know, unless you have, I don't know how you're getting your podcast now on your desktop, and we know many of you are just listening and watching right on your screen from your desktop computer, because we see it in the stats. This, you know, these Android devices and Apple TV and Google TV and all those devices make up a percentage of the total views and listens of shows like mine. But still, a large majority of people come in via a desktop environment. And we want to make sure that those folks are not left behind. They have, will Microsoft leave us behind? Probably. But at least we should get the word out. And if we don't speak up and tell Microsoft what we want, we're not going to get anything. They're going to just continue to roll forward. They need to know what we want from an app standpoint so that when Windows 8 Metro comes out, right on that main screen is the ability to subscribe and listen to podcasts and have that right on the desktop. And that should translate through Windows Phone, and it should translate through their tablet and any other tablets that comes out with Windows 8. So I really hope that you guys will get behind this and take a few minutes and go over and basically leave a comment. Now, we've really gotten, when I first sent that email out, we had like, there was like 45 comments on the Windows 8 site. And I sent this out really late, West Coast time. So by tomorrow morning, this thing should be rocking. But, you know, a huge number of people have come in behind and said, you know, podcast support, podcast support, podcast support. Let's have podcast support, podcast support. So it just goes on and on. We've got about 145 people that have already went into that article and said, please give us podcasting support. And the number continues to climb, and I'm going to watch it here through the end of the show. We'll see where we're at. And we're at 191 comments. So that means we've got about 150 people have responded already to our alert. We know that we just sent this to 13,000 podcasters. And if those podcasters all read that email, which they won't, we'll probably only get maybe 30% of them that will actually read the email. We will end up with a large number of people coming in here and saying, hey, give us podcasting support. But what we're, you know, if every one of you that listen to this show come to my website, and this link is going to be highlighted in the show notes tonight at geeknewscentral.com, I want you, please, please, please go over to this blog post by Microsoft and make a comment. We want a podcast app. If every one of you do that, we will groundswell and basically send a message to Microsoft. And to do that, we need your help to do that, okay? And so it doesn't matter if you're listening to the show a couple of days later, every person that can send a comment on the website is going to help. And I know that you guys will help me get that word out, and I appreciate that you're going to do that. So that was kind of my prelim thing I wanted to talk about show. But essentially, I'll get into the tech here in just a second, but lots of stuff going on with CES, lots of talking with vendors and sponsor talks. So that's heavy in progress. We're working on having a good Saturday morning tech for you. Saturday, having another special guest. this week's been great with the kids being off. I had a fun week. The kids are relaxed. I relaxed. It's been great. Got a pretty busy day tomorrow from an official business standpoint. Starts at 6 a.m. But other than that, you know, this has been a fantastic week, and I feel quite refreshed. So I hope this, you know, you guys are loving the show. And definitely send me your comments back, geeknews@gmail.com. But help us here. Help us tell Microsoft. And even if you're an Apple user, you know, help us help those Windows users out that don't have some of the cool features you do. And even if you're using an Android or using a BlackBerry or whatever you're using, the main thing here is to try to you know, give Microsoft a little tap on the shoulder and say, hey, don't forget about us out here. And we have 4,000, 5,000, 10,000 people make comments that'll make Microsoft sit back and go, hmm. So they'll know in the morning when they look at these comments that we have basically rallied the troops, because we're going to get a bunch of comments on there. Okay, so let me go ahead and get into the full-blown content tonight. And let me go back to that article and just talk a little bit about what they are going to announce. And essentially, they've said they're going to have some stuff for SkyDrive. They're going to have mail, calendar, people, and messaging. They're going to have photo apps where you can crop and rotate photos, do some editing on them. They're going to have maps, including 3,000 indoor venue maps, driving direction hints. Of course, Bing is going to have an app. There's the finance stuff, too, where you can get finance news, where news and magazine content, market exchange data, finance videos, and so forth. Then a whole section of news, news content, from the Wall Street Journal and a variety of stuff like that, news videos, sports, travel, weather. So they're going to have some stuff, actually movies on demand, music that you can buy, of course, and games. So those are the apps so far that they have ready for Windows 8. And we hope that people will, you know, we'll see where this goes with Windows 8. And you know, I'm got my fingers crossed for Microsoft because, you know, they've got a big challenge here in this rollout. So we hope that they do well, but, this is some of the stuff that's going to be on that Metro screen that you're going to be able to, if you have a tablet, point and click, or if you have on your desktop, you'll be able to launch directly. And, so that's kind of what we're looking at there for Windows 8. And, a lot of commentary on that today from a variety of standpoints. TechCrunch was, talking about Mozilla's has released their Firefox Metro and how it's going to look on Windows 8. And everyone says it just looks absolutely fantastic. So we'll see that come out shortly as well. And of course, Microsoft is still on track to, they're going to launch the Surface Tablet Hybrid at midnight on October 26th from a variety of pop-up stores. And they're thinking people are going to queue up and buy this thing. So they're, you know, they're, they've got invested a lot of money here. That's going to be, you know, this is going to be a big launch for them. And Microsoft has really bit off a lot on this one and with the interface change. And we'll see how it's accepted by the public at large. But the new spin is starting now, and we're going to kind of try to, you know, help them with that spin as we move forward. And we hope that they will cobble together a podcast app here in the next 20 days or so. All right, let's talk just, we'll switch gears off Microsoft at this point, but I want to talk about an article that was over on Computer World. U.S. agencies have seized 686 websites accused of selling fake drugs. So, you know, first of all, if you're going online to buy drugs, there's an issue to begin with, right? And I don't fully understand this, because if you're sick or if you need some sort of medicine, you know, your doctor will write you a prescription. But if there were 686 websites accused of selling fake drugs, then, you know, where are we at in for legal drugs? So, okay, so I didn't know you could have a pharmacy where you could turn in a prescription online. So I assume everything that you would get for drugs online is illegal. But U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, Homeland Security investigators, along with Department of Justice, seized the websites this past week. And these new seizures nearly double the number of websites shut down by the agency in the name of copyright enforcement. Of course, civil liberty groups, and we have here criticized some of these seizure efforts. but the new worldwide effort involved 100 countries. It resulted in 79 arrests and seizure of 3.7 million doses of counterfeit medicine worth an estimated U.S. $10.5 million. So worldwide, apparently, there was over 18,000 websites were shuttered. And these was through international partnerships and so forth. But so they say they were fake drugs. Okay, so what about the sites that were real drugs? I guess that's my question. Has anybody gotten any legal drugs? Okay, what's the best way to say that? You know, you go to the doctor, you get his prescription. You can't go on the internet and have that prescription filled, right? Not the last time I checked. So I would assume any site that's selling drugs online is illegal. But, you know, if you have a need, a real need for a prescription, go see your doc. And don't be buying a list of stuff online. And I know why some people do. You know, part of it is that if you leave the United States and go to Mexico, a lot of over-the-counter drugs are basically things you'd have to have a prescription for, you can go into Mexico and buy much, much cheaper than what it costs over-the-counter in the United States. So that's what happens. A lot of people don't have insurance. That's a way for them to save money. And I don't know if those are fake or real, but I'm sure that a lot of people that are going places to get prescriptions are doing so, you know, to try to stay healthy and save money. But at the same point, it's definitely not legal. But what do you guys think about this? These websites being seized, and do you know anyone that's went on and actually purchased a prescription drug on one of these illegal sites? I remember getting all those Viagra commercials when or Viagra spam whenever Viagra first came out, and my understanding was that a large portion of the Viagra that was being sold online was placebos. It wasn't the real deal. Let's go ahead and completely switch gears, and let's talk about a scam that's been going on for a long time. And the folks over at Ars Technica got a call from Windows. Microsoft called them. A tech support scammer has dialed Ars Technica, basically in saying he's got issues. And of course, the guy he called was a guy that only owns a Mac, so that was pretty comical to begin with. But they go through everything that the company tried to do and how they tried to charge him some money for the call, and how the scam went down. So we've heard these before, but ours has a good write-up of the conversation he had. I tell you, if I ever get one of those guys on the phone, I will very quickly get the recorders up and running, and we'll capture something here and have a lot of fun with someone. But if any of you ever do get a call from a scammer like that, do whatever you can to record that conversation, because it makes for good comedy. But don't fall for it. Windows or Microsoft doesn't call you. That doesn't happen that way, and especially when they're asking for money, because supposedly your computer is infected when it's actually not. It's just someone conning you. Right, the iPad mini is reportedly in mass production for introduction this month. So the Wall Street Journal has reiterated details about the device, as it is a 7.85-inch screen. Of course, there's nothing been announced. Apple hasn't announced a date, but rumors have swirled that there's potentially an October 17th as the date for the iPad mini. Nothing has been announced yet publicly, so we'll see what happens here. If invitations go out, they apparently will go out next week. Now the question is, do you think that you would buy the mini, a 7.85-inch screen? It'd be quite a bit smaller than the normal. I just don't see a need for it. Now, I guess maybe the ladies would, but who would buy of you would buy a 7.85-inch iPad if Apple introduces one, which it sounds like they're going to. Love to hear from you. geeknews@gmail.com. All right. Hey, Zynga. Boy, oh boy. Apparently the company's in big trouble. Weeks ahead of its official quarter three earnings report, the social media game Zynga has released a preliminary financial results report. The company said late Thursday it will earn around $300 million this year in quarter three 2012, down from $332 million last quarter. Most notably, the company took a write-down of $85 million to $95 million on the value of OMG Pop, makers of Draw Something, more than half of what the company paid for it earlier this year. So basically, the Zynga's overpaid for the smaller gaming company, costing them a huge amount of money. And I don't think I've played Farmville or any of the stuff that Zynga has created. But boy, oh boy. And I'm not familiar with OMG Pop at all, that game at all. But boy, oh boy, they lost a huge amount of money with that purchase. So don't know if that's what their profit's going to be. Earnings are one thing. What they end up in the bank is another. So we'll see where this goes. But their stock is probably going to get whacked tomorrow morning. Right, another article over on Ars, and this is a big one. YouTube's automated copyright takedowns apparently aren't broken anymore. Time will tell. And so YouTube is making a major change here. And, you know, we've talked about how the system has had some quirks, especially with the NASA recordings of the Mars landing, where we got flagged and a bunch of other people did too, where some stuff that happened at the Democratic National Convention got flagged that was supposed to. But under their new content ID policy, there is little to no recourse. And what's going to happen here is Google is basically announced that they're tweaking the system to cut down on the number of false positives and systems. Most importantly, under the new rules, if an uploader challenges a match, the person or company that flagged the original video must file an official government takedown notice under the DMCA Act, which is a real process and would expose scammers to legal liability. So this is big. YouTube is also saying that it's improved the matching algorithms, which could be an even bigger improvement to the appeals process. So I suppose if anybody knows how to optimize a algorithm, it's YouTube and Google. But this is big. You know, it's funny. I talked about recently how Revision 3 and I were each flagged, and it was neither one of our content and so forth. But long story short here, it looks like YouTube has acknowledged they've got an issue with this thing and they're changing the policy. So now, if someone says, that's going to be taken down, and you say, no, that was fair use or that didn't infringe, the other company actually has to file a DMCA. So you have to be more careful as a content creator in saying, no, it doesn't infringe. You need to make sure that it didn't infringe. All right, this one here is pretty interesting. And this is a business idea that I guess is going strong in New York City. Apparently, in New York City, public schools, students are not allowed to have mobile phones. And unless basically what's happening is schools that have metal detectors and so forth, if you get caught, the phone gets confiscated. So what happens now is there are businesses set up, it's called Phone Valet, and basically school kids get to check their phone into a valet, usually a van, parked outside the school. They pay a certain amount for the phone to be dropped off or given a standard valet tag. And then when they come back later, they give them the valet tag and they get their phone back. So apparently this, it could cost kids as much as $180 each year. But the majority of students claim that's worth every penny spent. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to be giving my kids money to valet their phones when they go to school. Basically, the policy in the Hawaii schools is turn them off. If they ring, they get confiscated, but just you can have them in your bags, but don't use them until after school. There's certain hours that are not allowed to be used. But what a smart idea. Can you imagine having a minivan and you can make a lot of money? You know, let's say $3, $4, $5 a phone per day. And you have, 100 kids that are checking their phones in. That's $500. That's $2,500 a day. That is a business. So if you need to, if you want to do a business, look for a district that has a ban on phones and then drive up with a minivan and put a phone valet, because you have to be out of the school zone or you're going to get arrested and probably will need to check your local city ordinances as well, whether or not you're allowed to do this. But pretty smart what they're doing here. And kids, they want to be with their phone at all time. Sly Fox, Spitball, welcome to the chat room, guys. Hey, I'm glad you're here tonight. All right, Apple has filed a shake to print iOS patent application. You know, this is they've filed a bunch of patents again. This one describes a method to control printing and print settings by having the user interact with their iOS device by shaking, flipping, rotating, spinning, moving loudly to follow a shape or combination of those. So Apple asserts that since some devices, the iPhone and iPads, have relatively small displays, the provision of on-screen printing settings must result in a user interface items that are too small to use easy, so they want to have this shaking approach. So Apple also suggests flipping the device over and then shaking it to cancel the printing setting. By combining a shaking motion with a flipping motion, both applications suggest the electronic device can reduce incidents of accidental canceling. You can see it now. I'm walking around and my printer at home is going, bzz, 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 bzz. You know, let's be honest. You know, you have your phone and you're talking and, you know, bzz, you know, it's printing out papers at home. I think this is when I would have to turn off. Because I can just see a lot of paper being burned through this. Oh boy. You know, the old Kim.com thing just does not quit. It appears that this train wreck of a case rumbles on, and there's a new report alleging that Kim.com's internet connections showed signs of interference earlier than the New Zealand's government communications security bureau had admitted. According to the New Zealand Herald, .com's Pink Times ran an investigation by his ISP as far back as November 2011. His ISP had only, I mean, the government group had only admitted to tapping his connection between December and .com's arrest in January. In September, the Prime Minister apologized for illegal wiretap. So now there's calls for an independent investigation. What happened was is .com was a big-time player on Modern Warfare 3. And his ping went from 30 milliseconds to 180 milliseconds in 2011. And the trace route found three extra hops within New Zealand added to his path to the Xbox server.com used to play the game. And he was, I guess he was proud of his worldwide number one ranking on the game. And he thought it because it was partly attuned because he had this huge fat pipe at home where he had a fiber connection and was able to have super high speed internet. But anyway, they're going to do a independent investigation to see if, this government group didn't actually give the wrong dates. All right. The court has also not bought a Department of Justice argument for why Mega Upload users can't sue to get their data back. So this is a big one here. Of course, the Department of Justice has been trying to deny a user by the name of Goodwin, his day in court against them, attempting to say that Goodwin should sue Mega Upload itself or the hosting company that's holding the servers rather than U.S. government. The court is not buying this and said that a full hearing will be held. This doesn't necessarily mean that Goodwin will win in the end, but it's definitely a step in the right direction and represents yet another failure to add to the long list of failures in the Department of Justice supposed success story. So this guy wants his data back, and I don't blame him. He's got stuff on there that is lifelong stuff for his business and so forth. But my goodness, if you live in the Philippines, stand by. And I know we've got a few Philippine listeners that listen in, so kumusta to those. But the new cybercrime laws to protect citizens going after file sharing and online libel. So they were initially putting together a SOPA, and slash PIPA in the Philippines, and the Philippine legislature end up putting together a pretty incredible law here that has some very limiting limitations on expression. You can get arrested for just tweeting about someone, and you could be something, you know, so simple as a little criticism of someone could be considered as libel. And there's just a whole bunch of rules here that it really is pretty scary. And there's definitely free speech limitations, and basically the Philippine government has enacted sweeping powers that have been granted to law enforcement, and the law is bad all around. And this is big. And, you know, folks in the Philippines, largely are not well off, and you know, some of the fines can be as high as 1,000,000 pesos. And 1,000,000 pesos, I think if you look at the exchange rate, it's around 40. So, you know, you do the math there. It's a huge, huge fine, even dollar-wise. And jail times and everything. So it's bad. This is a, it's really crazy. And, you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff that's happened in the Philippines in the past about, you know, the government officials and stuff that they do. And, you know, I think their prior president just got arrested. And, you know, there's always some sort of scandal going on. And for those of you that have been in the Philippines or are Filipino, will understand and kind of know the skinny. I've told the story many times of when in the 1980s, early 1980s, when I was in the Navy and had a room on what happened in order for me to get some stuff that was stolen from me back. And I got it back, but I had to have a little green to, how should I say it, grease the skids with the local police officers. So, but I got my stuff back. But that's kind of how a lot of things work. And, I, you know, it's been a while since I've been in the Philippines, but this new cybercrime law is pretty significant. So Philippine listeners, I'm sure you're more aware of it than I am. All right, looks like Samsung has plenty of money to pay Apple their fine. Galaxy phones have drove a record $7.3 billion in profit. They announced a quarterly profit of $7.3 billion on Friday. This is a fourth straight record quarter and nearly double last year's figure as strong sales of its Galaxy smartphones more than offset reduced orders for chips and screens from Apple. So this is big. And so anyway, this year's expected profit is supposed to be around 28 trillion won. This is big for the folks, a total of $25 billion. And boy, oh boy, they got higher performance payouts to Samsung staff and so forth. So, you know, this $1 billion in damage to Apple is just, you know, it is what it is, right? So, again, cheap marketing for the app, for the Samsung folks, for $1 billion to compete with Apple was a low price to pay. All right, Intel has unveiled a personal cloud platform for small businesses and consumers. And it appears that Intel is diving into the personal cloud storage space with a new Atom-based platform targeted towards both consumers and small business. So this is kind of cool. Essentially, these are network-attached storage appliances powered either by the Intel Atom D2550 or the D2500, backing up and sharing content through the cloud. The cloud technology comes in through an exposed HTML IP address with a secure login, and then user can access the IP address either through a regular desktop browser. It can look like a drive. So what is this going to cost us here? It doesn't say what this is going to cost. See, okay, Intel's already lined up three product launches with OEM partners. Pricing starts at approximately $299. All three are shipping these systems already. So I guess you can buy this. And I'm going to have to get more data on this because they say it's a cloud, personal cloud platform. Personal cloud means it's out there outside of my house, but maybe it's personal cloud where the device will actually be in my home. That's really not the cloud. That, you know, house burns down, your cloud's gone. So we'll have to see what this really is. I'm going to dig into this a little deeper, see if we can get some more information. Disclaimer here, I do own Intel stock. All right, Google and publisher settle on book scanning lawsuit. You know, Google has reached a deal here to end its long-running court fight with major publishing houses over the company's controversial decision to scan library books and the world's library books. So that's a big move. That's a big big deal. Now, they haven't settled with the actual writers, but they've actually settled with the publishing houses. The detail between Google and publishers likely, however, to anger the publishers' one-time partner, the Authors Guild. Unlike the publishers, the Guild decided last December to review its original 2005 class action claim. And today's development was likely to further complicate disputes between authors and publishers over who owns the digital rights to books. And this does not resolve the question of whether Google's book scanning amounted to copyright infringement. But the company is adamant that the scanning qualifies under the fair use exemption, while the Authors Guild is demanding it pay $750 per book. Scholars and activists like the EFF have filed briefs to support Apple's fair use argument. The case is now on hold because it's on appeal. So we'll see where this goes. But not too many details about the 7-year battle that's been going on with Google and the publishers. All right, Android app development is growing at a faster rate than iOS. So that's pretty big. Both iOS and Android use is growing, but app developers are adapting Android at a faster rate. This is a GigaOm Pro survey. It looks to me, I'm looking at the list here, if we look at a chart, the percentage is about huge. For tablets, about, how they do it? Okay, so 3% versus 12% on tablets from iOS to Android, and then on mobile, 5 to 9, so not as big a split, but the huge disparity on the tablet side, just because there's more tablets. You go into a place, and there's just tablet everywhere. I was in an Office Depot today, and I was just kind of amazed at the number of Android tablets that was on there. You guys know we talked before that the solar trade dispute going on with China, and apparently, you know, there's been a big battle, and this is in the courts, and it's in trade authorities and so forth, and apparently it has had little effect, but the U.S. government apparently is close to finalizing its rulings on trade complaint against China's solar manufacturers. So far, what many thought would be the fallouts from the trade complaint haven't materialized, and the doomsday prediction that these solar panels would be more harder to get has not, would slow down the imports and help U.S. manufacturers, but that hasn't been the case. And actually talking to solar dealers here recently, the price continues to go down on panels, and that's a good thing for all of us looking to adopt. The Washington Post's new daily show called The Fold is interesting for a number of reasons. It debuts on Google TV and is made specifically to be viewed on connected TVs. This is for a targeted audience who are cord cutters. So it looks like The Washington Post is getting in on the deal, and they're producing this daily news show. This is pretty interesting. The chief digital officer, Vijay Ravadan, is talking about The Fold. He says The Fold is made for people who use Netflix and Hulu but don't have any good source of their daily news fix. This was there's a great opportunity in NewSpace to serve this audience, he added. Hey, you know what? You guys can get your tech news right here, but most of you are in bed, but you can get it in the morning. You don't need to go to the Wall Street. Well, you can go to the Wall Street Journal and get your regular news, but there's plenty of podcasts out there that do daily news. So definitely check those out. Don't know why they went with the Google TV as opposed to Roku or even Samsung. Of course, I know the reason Samsung is a little harder to get into. He said they had to start somewhere. He said his team had a lot of experience with Android, and he added developing for Google TV had a benefit. They could also have it work on Android tablets without too many modifications, which is true. Once you develop for one, it's pretty easy to make the changes to get it in the rest of them. So let's go ahead and flip gears here. GigaOm's got this headline article talking about why the tech industry needs to let Steve Jobs rest in peace. He said that they go on to say, tomorrow will mark a year since the death of Apple's founder, yet our industry still proclaims what he would think or do in any situation. We should follow the example of Tim Cook. While aiming to preserve Apple's legacy, he's still looking to the future. And basically talks about Apple's stock price, what's happened since his death and where they're at now, and that they're moving forward. And basically, what would Steve do is a question that's impossible to answer. But, you know, I think we all are just watching Apple and seeing how they're going to move forward here. But anyway, that's the story on what's going on with GigaOm talking about let's let Steve Jobs rest in peace. You know, yes, absolutely. But, you know, he set a pretty high bar, and I think we're all expecting big things out of Apple as they continue to move down the road. You know, a blunder of this Google Maps would not, I just do not believe would have happened under Steve Jobs' watch. Have you seen the Facebook first ad? Well, Facebook just hit 1 billion users. Now, that's a lot of people tagging and poking and posting and a lot of puppy posts and all this other stuff. So to celebrate, Facebook released the dumbest video that I think I've seen in a long time. I thought it was a little bit of a, how should we say it, a little bit of a hype, what Gizmodo was saying being bad. But when I viewed it, I was like, are you kidding? Who do they have for a marketing company? they're trying to appeal to a global audience, but the kids they showed on there, never mind. I'll let you watch it. Let me know what you think. I'll let you come up with your, give me your opinion on how this ad went over. Did it make any sense? Is it good, bad? Link will be up in the show notes. All right, the folks in a hospital in Kansas have been using a machine, and let me show you this machine. They're saying that this machine can sequence our DNA in about 2 days. Gene testing is very expensive, and usually gene testing in neonatal unit takes over a month, which means babies expecting could have delayed treatment for something. But this is a new box, which is now able to do a DNA sequencing in 50 hours. It costs $13,500 a pop, but when you're dealing with a baby's life, it works quick. But of course, it's decoding the genomes, and this is pretty amazing that they're able to do that in 50 hours. This must be an expensive box, I would imagine, but very, very cool where we're at with this. Facebook is reading your messages and liking things. Well, are they liking things for you? Well, not quite. So you might think clicking like is the only way to stamp the public Facebook information on something, but you're not completely right. Facebook is checking your private messages and automatic liking things you talk about, sort of. Basically, what they're doing here is when you go in and make a comment on something, it has the same consequences of liking it. So it's kind of a way for them to help inflate likes. This could be a big deal for those of you that don't want to artificially inflate sites, especially if it's a negative article. According to the Facebook spokesperson, although messaging will increase a page or link's like count, it won't publicly associate with the like with that like to you. In other words, your DNA won't be exposed, but you still will increase the like count. So that's interesting. We're just making a comment on something increases it. So all those negative things that you're commenting on are just getting driven higher. Of course, they're saying that Facebook pages aren't affected. So, but still, it just seems a little bit too shady for me and what they're doing there. Because usually, sometimes you comment stuff, it might not be a positive comment. Of course, we had a great article over on Geek News Central from Jen talking about Facebook pay-to-promote features have reached the United States. And, you know, think about this. If you want to promote a post, you want to pay $7, that's what it's going to cost you to promote a post in your Facebook feed. Do you really want to, you know, stuff I say in Facebook, you know, like the thing I said tonight about the, what's going on with the, with Microsoft. I think that would have been a good, let me turn down this audio. I'm getting a little feedback. That'd have been a good thing to promote, but generally there's nothing that I would put in my Facebook page that I would be wanting to pay to promote, to drive it higher in your view when you guys go into your site, when you look at it, when you're following me. So apparently they're going to be launching a Facebook gift shop that will enable you to send real world gifts to home or office as well, or to your Facebook friends. But what do you think about this pay to play, pay to promote feature that's now over on Facebook? Love to hear your feedback. And of course you can call the hotline as well at 619-342-7365. Apparently there's something big that's coming down the pike for Android as well. I haven't really heard too many details beyond what Alan has posted on the website. But basically, the majority of Android users will probably need to worry about malware contaminating their smartphones. But apparently there's some sort of an event happening here in a few days. And it has something to do with, so he says, while the vast majority of Android users will probably never need to worry about malware contaminating their smartphone, it never really hurts to play it safe by installing something like Lookout. If you install non-Google Play Store apps, and this can be especially important, do it, and Lookout is perhaps the best option in this generative mobile software. There wasn't much, well, of actually any information about what is coming. So I don't know how this, Alan, I don't know how this tied together. I'm just, I'm reading through this. I'm like, only 7 more days to get fired up? Okay, does that mean, oh, it's about Lookout. Lookout for Android has something big planned. It helps if I okay, just call me a knucklehead. All right, that's all you got to do. Oh my God, I'm an idiot. So Lookout for Android has something coming in 7 days. So what a knucklehead I am. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about another article we're on that Jen has produced, talking about trick-or-treaters avoid zombie mouth. Halloween is coming up in just a few weeks, so as you're expecting trick-or-treaters at your door, probably thinking of what type of candy you should hand out this year. Instead of candy, why not get them plants versus zombies? The American Dental Association teamed up with Pop Cap Games, the maker Plants vs. Zombies. They want to redefine what a Halloween treat can be and help kids to avoid having zombie mouth, which the installation described cavities, gum disease, and bad breath. Go to StopZombieMouthWebsite.com, and you can download a printable coupons for a free Plant vs. Zombie PC Mac game. Hand coupons out for a free game to the trick-or-treaters. Kids can go to the Stop Zombie Mouth website from October 30th through November 10th to redeem the coupons. So that's kind of a cool idea. Give a coupon for a game instead of handing candy out. I wonder what that's going to cost you, a whack. I'm sure that's not going to be inexpensive. Probably a buck a treat. With which way candy prices are right now, might actually be too bad of a price. All right, Microsoft to patch 20 bugs next week in its monthly update of Office. So if you are using Office 2007, 2010, you are going to get a big update. How many of you are making sure you're updating Office on a regular basis? Make sure you do that. Also, Microsoft and Barnes & Noble are launching an e-reading joint venture, which is kind of curious. Microsoft and Barnes & Noble finalized the creation of a joint venture that will deliver e-reading applications in a new company we called Nook Media LLC. Previously called NewCo, the joint venture was initially announced in April, where Microsoft would invest $300 million in formation of new company with Barnes & Noble. The company will deliver digital reading products to users of Microsoft products, including Windows Phone, in the upcoming Windows 8 and RT operating system. So, interesting move here. Trying to sell you educational stuff. I think that's what's going to happen. So, with Facebook, I forgot to mention this earlier, with Facebook reaching a billion, is it time to leave? Is it time to leave Facebook with a billion people? Hey, over in Extreme Tech at extremetech.com, remember we had talked about back in July, the guy that was able to open hotel doors, and there was like 4 million hotel doors that were affected? Well, the company that manufactured the locks, it was pretty bad news, but not too bad. But what's going to happen now is that the company has downplayed his work as unreliable and complex to implement, and that was probably a pretty bad move. In the 2 months since the news of the flaw went public, hackers have refined his technique to improve the success rate and have succeeded in building an unlocker into a dry erase marker. In its original implementation, the code reader had a prominent wire running between the Arduino and a lock. So now all they have to do is use a dry erase marker, which is not so, you know, not so conspicuous. It's not like you're looking like you're hacking something. And all you do is you stick the dry erase marker into the door, and voila, you can bust in. And they've got a pretty good video on how it works. There's no wires, nothing being shown except for a dry erase marker. And this announcement obviously ratcheted up the pressure on the lock manufacturer to do the right thing here. And the cost of replacing every lock is going to be pretty high. But don't leave valuables in your room when you're in a hotel room. And if they have a hotel safe, start using it. It's pretty scary. This is a pretty easy hack to make happen. And many, many hotel rooms are affected. I talked about in previous shows how a car black box may be used in the near future here to send a driver to prison. Well, apparently, former Melrose Place actress Amy Locan goes on trial for vehicle manslaughter today. Some of the testimony could send her to prison will come from the black box in her SUV. It may show her driving 18 miles per hour with a speed limit on a winding country road when she struck another car, killing the passenger and injuring the driver. Over the summer, a judge ruled that in New Jersey, at least, information from the vehicle data recorder is reliable enough to be used in court. It could be used alongside other evidence, such as her blood alcohol test, which was a 0.268, which is well above the legal limit. Now, here's the deal. Every car has a black box or event data recorder that gives a running narrative events in the moments leading up to an accident. So acceleration, speed, braking, yaw, spinning, stability. It also shows what's on and off, ranging from the windshield wipers and headlamps to traction control, stability control, anti-locking brakes, painting an indirect picture of the conditions at the time of the accident. So this is going to be used in the future in more and more cases. So this is big. And, you know, if the car belongs to you, you can read the owner's manual and figure out how to deal with your black box. But if the authorities demand it via search warrant or subpoena, they're going to take it. And you got to be careful. If you try to rip out the data recorder, you could find yourself in prison over that as well. So we'll see where this goes. They're going to just drive safe, okay? This is pretty cool. Megadroid simulates network of 300,000 Android smartphones. A new computing cluster from Sia National Labs called Megadroid is capable of virtualizing up to 300,000 smartphones running Android 4.0. In a simulated network, it is intended to help researchers and app developers simulate wireless networks with large number of users moving around a virtual landscape. This is incredible. Megadroid is comprised of 520 nodes in a computing cluster that costs $500,000. Each network node is an x86 computer with a quad-core Intel 7 Sandy Bridge processor. So interesting move by the folks at Sandia National Labs and some of the stuff that they did. Now, those folks over there have got big, big brains. Interesting what they're using it for here. And they envision it being used to develop and test applications for disaster recovery and early detection warning systems. And of course, I'm sure there's other types of stuff that they're using that for as well. And very, very cool. And of course, Sandia is located in Albuquerque, New Mexico. All right, Lenovo announces plans to bring manufacturing back to the U.S. This is big. You know, one of the themes in this ongoing presidential election has been the perceived need to bring product manufacturing back to the United States. And this is good. Recent announcement, Lenovo is going to play the point that the PC manufacturer today is building a U.S. location in North Carolina. The new facility is small with just over 100 people, but it's being built for a modest $2 million. And so they're going to bring some of the manufacturing back to the United States, which is good. Does that mean we're now a second world country? Our third world country, because the jobs are coming home. All right, scientists are planning on a $1 billion mission to drill into the Earth's mantle. Wow. Think about that. The mantle is 3,000 kilometer thick layer of superheated, mostly solid rock. And they want to drill down to this bad boy. And you know, they have to drill a minimum of 6 kilometers. And this is big. And they're going to drill through the crust of the Pacific Ocean. Please don't do that anywhere around here. You know, you cut a hole in something, it's not good. You know, it really isn't. You think about that, the potential there. You know, purposely drilling a hole into the mantle, is that really that smart? Oh, boy. All right, paleontologists have hailed the discovery of a cat-sized dinosaur. This is new. This is an announcement by the University of Chicago. And I guess this dinosaur of sorts lived about 200 million years ago, and it looked like a house cat, and or said it would look like a two-legged porcupine. So maybe that's where cats came from. FTC has released Google's privacy audit, but it's almost all redacted. It's pretty black. Google could tell you about its privacy policy, except it's private. There's not too much to see on this, so it's kind of funny. So we'll see if anybody goes out with a additional Freedom of Information Act for more data. All right, television networks embed Android device and magazine ads. This is big. Readers of Entertainment Weekly may be shocked to find their magazines is a bit heavier this week. U.S.-based broadcaster CW placed an ad in Entertainment Weekly, which uses a fully functional 3G Android device, a T-Mobile SIM card, and a specialized app that displays short video advertisements along with the CW Twitter feed. I guess writers at Mashable were willing to geek out with a Swiss Army knife and a video camera to give you all the details of this thing. But this is pretty cool what they've done here. And this is actually an article over on G4. And let me show you this. How much money did this cost to do this? And I have here's the link. They pulled this thing out. It's got a screen, everything. And the device is designed to show off clips and the Android feed. And it's pretty cool. So I guess folks were able to reset the device across the screen on an Android menu. And there was a full set of apps. And they even used the phone to make a phone call. But to the ad device is available in the October 5 issue of Entertainment Week, but there are only 1,000 copies with a free phone. So hit that newsstand. I'm definitely going to try to get one of these tomorrow. I don't know if there's going to be any available here in Hawaii or not, but tomorrow is October 5th. For those of you listening, it'll be today. But to definitely try to score yourself one of these Entertainment Weekly, and you're going to be able to get yourself some pretty cool pretty cool swag from from them on what they're doing there. So pretty slick. How much did that cost? It had to cost a lot of money. A century ago, astronomer including Edwin Hubble discovered the universe was expanding using the same methods, but this time with observation from an orbiting infrared space telescope. A new study confirms this expansion and nails the rate with a higher precision done before. If you're curious, the expansion rate was found at 74.3 plus or minus 2.1 kilometers per second per megaparsec. And I guess that was almost precisely aligned with previous measurements. All right. Yesterday, the FTC, in conjunction with other government agencies, were able to shut down an international telemarketing scam. And of course, a recent video has surfaced of them in action trying to scam one of the principals of a Canadian web startup. And the scammers were going through their teeth to try to convince the victim he needed to buy a lifetime subscription to their antivirus product. So this is another one of those telemarketing operations that was trying to pilfer money out of folks. Many of you have seen this cover the Parrot AR drone here at Geek News Central. We've had coverage from CES, but Alcatel-Lucent has flown a Parrot AR drone 2.0 over 3,280 feet in the air using an LTE. So this is pretty cool. So they were able to get some huge distance out of this thing. The original one is not very, doesn't have very much of a range. With the original configuration, they only get about 160 feet, but using an LTE ad hoc network with a USB modem and a smartphone, they're able to go 3,280 feet before they lost connection with the device. And they actually show a video of it. It's pretty cool. So, all kinds of cool experiments going on in the wireless and wired space. All right, how many of you want to be able to unlock your door with your cell phone? Well, there's lots of projects out there that are making that happen. And if you want to get locked in or locked out, leave your cell phone at home. So folks at Uber Gizmo, is a keyless deadbolt will lock you into the iOS. It's called Lockatron. And basically, you can lock a door with a deadbolt. And it basically works off of Wi-Fi and lets you unlock your door through an SMS message. There's much better technology out there than relying on Wi-Fi to get your house unlocked, okay? And of course, you could always just use a key, right? All right, last article for tonight before we get out of here. I'm just reading the chat room here. Someone said, it says, good thing I've weaned myself a derivative from Facebook back in 2009. And he says, and also said, as Pink Floyd said, welcome to my son to the machine. probably talking about that device inside the magazine. All right, AT&T today unveiled a bevy of devices. There's going to be a slew of new devices available at the end of the year, and obviously right around for Christmas rush. So there's all kinds of gadgets that they announced. I have a link up in the show notes. You guys can look those over yourself. Too many to go over here, but all of the event were 4G LTE devices, LTE devices. So lots of phones coming on the market in that space. As I said earlier in the show, for those of you that may have not listened to my earlier commentary, I really, really do need all of you to go over and make a comment on the article that I'm going to have up in the show notes about Microsoft and Windows 8 and a podcasting application. So I'll have both the link up to our community newsletter alert and also the article that has been posted by Microsoft. Really need your support over there. I want to really blow this thing out in the number of comments we make to Microsoft asking for a podcast app and integration into Windows 8 so that we get the same synergy on Windows 8 phones, tablets, and on our desktops. It's going to be forthcoming in the Windows 8 platform. So all of you that participate and do that for me, I definitely appreciate it. All you got to say, it really is, it's a two-minute evolution. Put your name and say, I request that Microsoft have a podcasting app so I can listen or watch podcasts in the Windows 8 ecosphere. Something to that effect. That's all you got to say. And there's going to, we've sent the army. Now, I told you at the beginning of the show that we would share with you how many more people, even though it's late, I'd share with you how many more people had actually made comments over at Microsoft. And let me back up here and get to it. And let's see here. Was it on that one? No, it's at the beginning of, let me go over to this article right there. Let me hit refresh on this page. And we've had an additional, I'm waiting for the page to load. Oh man, is the page down? About another 20 comments since the show started. Of course, it's really late. It's, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast and very close to midnight at Pacific time. So hopefully tomorrow we'll be able to bump this thing up over to a couple thousand comments. But all you got to do, again, is I'll have the link up in the show notes. Two links talk about my, basically why we want you to do that and also the actual link to building Windows 8 over on the blogs.msndn.com. And I'll have that up in the show notes. Hey, let me go ahead and I got just a few emails that came in. Got an email here from Nicole. Hey, Todd, with all the buzz about Apple iOS 6 maps, the folks at Mad Magazine brought their twisted take on the subject to the magazine idiotical blog, Apple Mac Wreaks Havoc on New York Cover. And it gives me the link to the Mad Magazine article. I want to make sure you had it in case you'd like to feature it. So I'll have that up in the show notes for you to check out. Got an email here from Robert. He said, hey, Todd, what do you think of the update to the PayPal Terms of Service where you agree to go to arbitration rather than sue them? And you're not allowed a future class action lawsuit. Did you cover that in Thursday's show? I didn't have a link to that, Robert. I wonder if there's already a lawsuit somewhere in the works that they are trying to reduce the SaaS size of the class. By the way, be aware, if a buyer pays through PayPal via American Express, they are not limited to the normal 45-day period for filing a dispute. If they charge back the payment through Amex, PayPal will dispute up to a year later, and when the credit card company sides with their customer, you will owe PayPal the amount of the payment. Now, that's a good to know on from Amex, Robert. Do appreciate it. Got an email here from Zachary. He said, hey, Todd, SpaceX Falcon's heavy announcement means companies and private citizens can send cargo into low Earth orbit. How about me? This begs the question, how much would it cost to launch a house into orbit? For the first time ever, our home blastoff calculator can provide you the answer. Thought the calculator would be something essential. Something Geek News Central would be into. So this up and let me go over to this website and let's look at the category. Okay, so let's just say we want to go into space and let's send a square. Okay, they didn't make it too complicated here. Square foot, one story. Okay, give me the real number. All right, I'll just let you guys read this. It says it's going to cost about $128 million. No, by our calculator, if we choose to use the weight as a key figure for a mission, Space House. It would take five trips at $128 million apiece to reach space. In other words, it cost $640 million to finance Space House into a flying machine and launch it out of Earth's orbit. Oh, whatever. Okay, this is kind of silly. Anyway, I'll have that in the show notes. I don't know who dreamed this up, but this is a weird one. Thanks for the email. Who sent this to me? Zachary. I've never got an email from Zachary. It almost looks like this is a pitch. It's not listed as a guy pitching me, but it might be because Zachary is the owner of this site. Zachary, if you're a listener, it's kind of a weird article, dude. All right, folks, we're going to wrap up here. As always, reach me on Twitter at Geek News. Email me, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, our voicemail hotline is open at 619-342-7365. And of course, I totally destroyed the beginning of the show. So I thank you for letting me continue. Like I wouldn't have continued anyway, but it's one thing about doing live. You don't get a chance to not make a mistake. If you make a mistake, you live with it. So I hope you got a good chuckle at the beginning of the show when I hit the wrong buttons here. But I'm still pretty psyched about being able to do this and bring up the iPad screen and be able to show you guys stuff and play with different apps and stuff. So if you've got something you think got a demo on the iPad, we can do that on a show. And for those of you that are listening, you'll definitely want to check out how cool this is for me to be able to bring up the iPad. And if I need to, I can revert back and we can actually, we can actually do the Google TV as well. So, so kind of a cool way to do that. Oops, let me go that way. Too many buttons. All right, folks, until next time, everyone, take care. Aloha.